Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show, where we cover all your latest NFL news and action. Thank you guys for listening. We have a lot to talk about. We're actually going to recap the Orlando Apollos game because the Orlando Apollos and the San Antonio Commanders had an instant classic, the best AAF game we've seen yet. The Orlando Apollos pulled out a thrilling 37-29 victory over the San Antonio Commanders in a game that had constant back-and-forth action. I mean, it was a good football game. There's nothing else to say. You know, the Orlando Apollos fell behind 12-0 in their Week 2 clash against the San Antonio Commanders, but Steve Spurrier's guys refused to give up. Thanks to a huge game from Garrett Gilbert, Orlando was able to rally back and win the contest 37-29. Gilbert threw for a whopping 393 yards and 2 touchdowns. In the AAF, the quarterback play hasn't been that strong, but Gilbert was really able to light it up. The other star was hands down Charles Johnson. The former Minnesota Viking racked up 192 receiving yards and 1 touchdown. It seemed like Johnson was getting behind the secondary time and time again. So this was huge for his stock as a football player. And if he keeps playing like this, he'll be back in the NFL before we know it. On the other hand, San Antonio was in control of the game for about 3 quarters, and it was tough to see them fall apart. Really, the defining moment was when Logan Woodside threw a pick 6 to Keith Reeser. Once the Apollos scored that defensive touchdown, you knew the wheels had fallen off for the Commanders. Woodside ended up with 223 yards, 1 touchdown, and the 1 interception. Kenneth Farrell also played really well for San Antonio. He finished the night with 74 yards and 1 touchdown. Then there was DeMarcus Ayers, who went for 80 receiving yards, but it wasn't enough to keep up with a high-powered Orlando team. Neither defense was really great either. When you look at the box score, it tells you that that's one area the Apollos had to improve in. You know, Reggie Northrup led the way with 6 tackles and 1 TFL. Reeser was also outstanding with 2 tackles and 1 interception for the Apollos. And then Devontae Bosby had 4 tackles for San Antonio. Joe Lanning chipped in 4 stops of his own. Ultimately, though, Spurrier's X and O's in combination with great talent led the Orlando Apollos to an amazing road win and what was, you know, the best AAF game we've seen yet. So, brand new league, and it's very hard, you know, to put together a whole entire league, just bring you know, this vision into existence and be as organized as the AAF has been. You know, Charlie Ebersole, Bill Polian, Hines Ward, Justin Tuck, the rest of those guys that are all involved with that league, they're doing a remarkable job because not only do you have a ton of logistics, you know, all those players, travel, equipment, a place to practice, there's just so much that goes into all that. And, you know, you're trying to, you know, hash out these TV deals too, which they did a pretty good job of. And there's just so much on the table for those guys. And for them to have everything go as smoothly as it has, it honestly makes you believe that this new league might be able to work out. I know the USFL fell apart. The UFL, the United Football League, was a train wreck. We saw the XFL fall apart with Vince McMahon. But this AAF, it has a shot. The best chance we've seen out of all these leagues because they're so organized. And they did a great job hiring all those coaches who have past experience, you know, as professionals at the professional level, because the play on the field, even though it is a step down, it's the best we've seen out of all of these alternative leagues. So they're doing a really good job, and the Orlando Apollos seem to be the standard of the league. They're undefeated right now. They're 2-0. everybody, I think, like Vegas, you know, the gamblers, they all picked the bookies, I should say, they all picked the Arizona Hotshots to win this league. I really think the Orlando Apollos are going to win. Steve Spurrier is just doing a great job with that team, and we'll see what they do. But so far, so good for that league, and so far, so good for the Orlando Apollos. Next up, if the New York Giants signed Colin Kaepernick and traded for Antonio Brown, would they be a playoff team? All signs point to yes. Most New York fans expect the Giants to draft Dwayne Haskins in the first round, and truthfully, that's probably the best course of action for Big Blue. Haskins is the prototype quarterback, and he would be a great acquisition for Pat Shurmur's offense. But what if the Giants decided to try something different? You know, New York could release Eli Manning and free up an additional $10 million, which would give the team $38 million in cap space. Then you look at someone who had comparable stats to Colin Kaepernick, and Case Keenum's numbers are similar. You know, Keenum made $18 million with the Denver Broncos, but you have to remember Kaepernick has been out of action for two seasons, so his deal should probably be around $14 million annually. The next step will be trading, you know, a second, a third, and a fourth-round pick for Antonio Brown, and probably, you know, maybe like a fifth or a sixth next year, too. It'd take a lot. But, you know, Brown has a $17 million contract, so that would leave the Giants with roughly $7 million under the cap. When you think about it, you know, if you can pull the trigger on Colin Kaepernick or sign Colin Kaepernick, and pull the trigger on a deal for Antonio Brown. You know, when you think about it, Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr., you know, with those guys out wide, it's amazing how much damage those two could do. You know, let's not forget, you know, the reigning offensive rookie of the year, Saquon Barkley is also in the mix, and he'll carry the load for this franchise. You know, Eli Manning might be able to throw the ball a little bit better than Kaepernick, but when you go with a more athletic quarterback and combine him with a talented cast, it's an offensive philosophy that's worked in the past. You know, Randall Cunningham thrived with Chris Carter, Randy Moss, and Robert Smith around him, and Kaepernick could do the same. Some people might be worried that Brown and Beckham would cause too much drama, but the opposite could happen. Instead, those guys would be having so much fun that everything might end up working out. The final piece would be drafting someone like Ed Oliver in the first round. You know, yeah, New York would miss out on a talented QB like Haskins, but collectively there would be more talent on the field. So I'm just throwing out like a an imagination for the New York Giants. If they just for some reason weighed some of the other options on the table, I know Dwayne Haskins is probably the best move for that organization, but let's say they sign Kaepernick, they cut Eli Manning, and then they trade for Antonio Brown. You got Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. on the outsides. You have Saquon Barkley running the ball, who's the offensive rookie of the year, one of the most explosive players we've seen. So, and then you have Kaepernick under center, you cut Eli Manning. So the game starts off, you're handing Saquon Barkley the ball, and you're getting the defense to creep up and creep up. And then you start to play action off that and use Kaepernick to hit Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown. Now, the thing is, you know, I just studied a whole bunch of Colin Kaepernick film when I was writing this article. And Colin Kaepernick plays a lot like Lamar Jackson in the sense that he's a quarterback that runs the ball, and he automatically turns your team into a juggernaut when it comes to running the football, because most teams only use their running back, their halfback in particular, to run the ball. But when you have a halfback and your quarterback can put up big numbers, it really helps you move the chains and control the time of possession. You know, it doesn't matter where the running game's coming from. If you're running the ball effectively, you're controlling the clock, you're controlling the time of possession, you're keeping your offense on the field, you're keeping their defense on the field, which is gassing them out. And it's just a formula for winning. We know that's consistent across the board for all levels of football, whether it's high school, college, pro, peewee, it doesn't matter. So, and I watched a lot of those Kaepernick plays. He's tucking that thing and he's running it. Yeah, he can throw it a little bit, but he's tucking it and he's running. And that's just another thing that the defense has to compensate for. And like I said, you've seen how effective that can be with Lamar Jackson. The Ravens were sputtering out with Joe Flacco at the end there. They put in Lamar Jackson. He pretty much supercharges that offense because he's just so much to deal with. And Kaepernick could have a similar effect in New York. So it'd be kind of like a run and shoot offense. And it reminds me of, you know, Randall Cunningham with Chris Carter, Randy Moss, Robert Smith, the rest of those guys in Minnesota when they went, I think they went 15-1. It reminds me of that because, you know, Cunningham was a similar style of player. He could throw it better than Kaepernick, but he's kind of that same mold of player who fits in that system when all those other athletes are there. And what it is, it's a philosophy that we're more athletic than you are, and it tends to pan out because when you do have so many athletes together, they kind of have cohesion and synergy, and they play off each other and they feed off each other, and everything just starts to click and it becomes like a well-oiled machine. So I think definitely that's one option on the table that has to be weighed. Like I said, Haskins is the prototype quarterback. You can't go wrong, but sometimes just following the beaten path too much just doesn't work. If you really want to make a splash, sometimes you have to go and shake things up. And a perfect example of that is, you know, Colin Kaepernick's former team, the San Francisco 49ers, when Jim Harbaugh got there, he shook things up. And, you know, that's why they went to a Super Bowl. Pete Carroll, when he gets to Seattle, what's he do? He makes like 40 roster acquisitions and departures and completely overhauls the roster. It's a bold move. He took action. That's what it takes to win in this league. You can't just always do what everybody expects you to do. You got to be willing to take risk. And when you do take a risk, they have to be calculated. And you have to know that this is a move you can be comfortable with because you've done your due diligence. That's what matters the most. That's what I think the New York Giants should seriously consider. Either way, I'm not going against Haskins at all because the guy is, you know, he threw 50 touchdowns last year. And to defend Haskins, we've seen with the Colts having a great quarterback how much that can elevate your team. But I just think, you know, you go get AB, you get Cap, you got Saquon Barkley, you have the ultimate run and shoot offense. And it could be dangerous. It could be dangerous. And then next year, if you know, you don't give up any future picks for AB, you know, the first draft that you have to go into, you'd be missing out on those picks. But if you traded a second, third, and fourth, and you maintain your first in the upcoming draft, instead of going Haskins, you can get somebody like Ed Oliver with your first pick. So like I said, even though you don't have the great quarterback, you have more talent on the field collectively. You got Antonio Brown, you have Cap, you have Ed Oliver, who you used on your first-round pick, who would have went towards Haskins. Oliver's a freak. He's gonna help improve that defense and make that team a lot better on that side of the ball. Anyway, though, I'm John Kuzma. That's all I have today. Those are the football thoughts going through my head. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate it. I'm signing off. Take care.